priests to be good and honest examples. Lead by example. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. John 13, verse 15. Scriptures from RVIC, except as noted. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, and, during his 3.5-year ministry, showed how a faithful follower must live in service to Jehovah. His example gives us a model for transforming our lives into an acceptable sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, those following Jesus should be examples for other true believers, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul admonishes, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtained mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. All aspects of our lives must be brought under subjection to our primary purpose, which is to serve Him now and forever. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Lord, who will sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell on your holy mountain? He who walks blameless and does justice and speaks the truth in his heart. Who slanders not with his tongue, nor does to his fellow man evil, nor bears reproach for his kin. The debased in his eyes is repugnant, but to the Lord-fearers he accords honor. When he vows to his fellow man, he does not revoke it. His money he does not give at interest, and no bribe for the innocent takes. He who does these will never stumble. Psalm 15, Alter Translation. Admonitions for a good and honest priest in training. Number 1. Authenticity. And be not fashioned according to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We ought to always maintain self-control so as not to fall prey to the devil's wiles in a moment of passion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Many have succumbed to temptation in a moment of weakness and lived to regret it for the rest of their lives. Whether through the use of a personal vow or other self-imposed guideline, we should always be on guard without displaying a holier-than-thou attitude. This might mean that sometimes we must pass on opportunities that would distract us from our commitment. If we suffer some disdain or persecution, let it be for righteousness' sake. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. At the same time, we should not disdain those who do not share our commitment, but put them at ease by our presence. Jesus interacted with sinners, yet remained pure, above them, not in words only, but in deeds. Sir Winston Churchill once met with a flight sergeant being honored for extreme bravery during World War II. When they shook hands, Churchill put him at ease by saying, "You must feel very humble and awkward in my presence. Then you can imagine how humble and awkward I feel in yours." Number 2. Consistency. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, become ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. We must never give in to discouragement. Enthusiasm for our work will keep us from giving up in failure. When Thomas Edison was experimenting with electricity, he counted 99 failures in 13 months before finally creating a working model of the light bulb. Pierre and Marie Curie counted 457 failures before discovering radium. These efforts along earthly lines exhibited a focus and devotion that we should emulate in our quest to do the Lord's work and His will. For example, when our witness efforts go unrewarded, we can easily become discouraged and lessen our efforts to spread God's word. Perhaps only 1 in 100 efforts results in a fruitful discussion of God's truth. Yet, personal testimonies at this end of the age show far more have come into the truth through one-to-one discussions than through mass media efforts. So never give up. Number 3. Integrity. To the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. The word integrity comes from the Latin integer, meaning whole or untouched. In mathematics, an integer is a whole number. A person of integrity is completely honest in all aspects of life and never compromises their strong moral principles. They always seek to do the right thing and to behave ethically, even behind closed doors. God is always present in our lives, whether we are with our brethren, with worldly friends, or even alone. While we can never attain perfection in our fallen flesh, our standard for conduct should never be compromised, even if no one would ever know. Promises should be kept, and honesty should be at the forefront. Additionally, we ought to make sincere efforts to correct any wrongs that we have committed and offer heartfelt apologies to those we have offended. Bobby Jones, perhaps the world's greatest amateur golfer of all time, was known for his honesty in a sport in which amateurs commonly disregard stringent rules. At the U.S. Open tournament in 1925, he insisted that he had violated Rule 18, moving the ball, by accidentally clipping the grass. The Rules Committee did not agree, but finally accepted the one-stroke penalty he assessed himself. He lost the game by the same margin, one stroke. When the sports writers praised his honesty, he replied, "You might as well praise me for not robbing banks." Living according to the rules should be a personal commitment for all true Christians. Number 4. Compassion. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Actions and decisions should always be tempered with mercy. In today's world, the ubiquity of social media can change our views of evil and suffering. We can easily separate ourselves from human suffering. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Mercy means that we do not always seek punishment for wrongs, or that we are quick to forgive someone who does not deserve forgiveness. As Paul details in Colossians, it may mean leniency, restraint, tolerance, or even clemency. This should be especially true when we have authority over someone, perhaps as an elder or a senior member within the ecclesia or family. Like the Good Samaritan, we are even required to forgive or help an enemy. In 1943, German fighters severely damaged the B-17 plane of Lieutenant Charlie Brown, and his compass led him into enemy territory. Franz Stigler, a German pilot, was ordered to shoot down the plane. When he approached Brown's plane with guns aimed, he saw Brown desperately trying to manipulate the damaged plane. He showed mercy and compassion, saluted Brown, and guided him to a safe, unoccupied zone. 50 years later, Brown and Stigler met and remained friends until death. Number 5. Kindness. "And become ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ forgave you," or us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. The parable of the wheat and tares warns that change would occur after the apostles died. Matthew chapter 13, verses 25 through 43. Hierarchy and formality grew. Those at the bottom were taken advantage of by church leaders through indulgences and mandatory giving. Church leadership became a political office. Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees for being aloof from the people. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. They condemned Jesus and called him the friend of publicans and sinners because he refused to turn anyone away based on their status. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. The sages of Israel refer to the book of Ruth as the scroll of kindness. Ruth was a Gentile who became part of the line of David and subsequently Jesus because of her kindness to the widow Naomi. Despite being a foreigner in a foreign land, Ruth chapter 2 verse 10, she stuck by Naomi and was subsequently rewarded by marrying Boaz. We have many foreigners in our land today. Do we treat them with the same kindness we would others? In Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, Jesus described himself saying, "I am gentle and humble in heart." Our world is often hurried and impersonal, but taking a moment to perform a random act of kindness can help nurture a community of compassion. The English poet William Wordsworth wrote, "The best portion of a good man's life is his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love." Number 6. Humility. Doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind each counting other better than himself. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Many become donors or workers in order to gain a good name in the community or in the political arena. Paul admonishes us to do any task not for our praise, but because we are doing it for God. No Christian should count themselves above another in terms of service. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. We are to consider the tremendous example of humility shown by Jesus in his willingness to become man's redeemer when it meant giving up his position in heaven. While God gave him an even higher reward, his only focus was to accomplish the task he set out to do and perhaps regain his prior connection with his Father. John chapter 17 verse 5. In Reprint 2060, Pastor Russell writes, "Nothing is more dangerous to the child of God than self-conceit. It blocks the way to true progress and reformation of heart, and hinders true usefulness to others, and especially usefulness in God's service. We are sorry at times to find some to speak of the knowledge of truth which they have received of the Lord as though it were something of their own achievement, as though some honor were due them as the inventors of the divine plan. Every action in our Christian life must be done in humility." Number 7. Availability. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Eagerness to witness can sometimes make us poor stewards of truth. Jesus told the crowds, "Ye seek me, not because ye saw signs, but because ye ate of the loaves and were filled." John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus left those crowds because they had no desire to hear his message, just to be fed. Peter admonishes us to engage sincere inquiries, but not for debate. "To everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Being available to help, comfort, or counsel, besides being a scriptural principle for a priest in training, also has mental and physical health benefits. A Chinese proverb translates, "If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody." Putting others' needs ahead of our own strengthens relationships. It connects us with those we are serving. In the next age, helping others will be a key principle in determining eternal destiny. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Paul's final counsel to Timothy. "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you have, given to you and confirmed by prophetic words when the elders laid hands on you. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that everyone will see your progress. Be conscientious about how you live and what you teach. Persevere in this, because by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Let us who are in training for one of the greatest tasks ever presented, bringing all who have ever lived into harmony with Jehovah, build our spiritual muscle through service and dedication. Let us daily look for opportunities to enhance our qualities as priests in training.